Join us live this Friday for Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. We'll be coming at you from your Lakeshore Public Radio studios out of Merrillville. We'll be traveling down to Griffith, the home of the Panthers, to visit with Dave from Polk Row Brewery. Dave is the owner, the operator, and the brewmaster. Join the conversation. Ask some challenging questions to our brewmaster. Call in 769-9577. That's right, guys. Join us live this Friday at 3 o'clock for Let's Eat on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR. It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Northwest Indiana. Here we are again, another Friday. With Let's Eat, and we got Sharon Jackson here, and I'm Chef Nick, and we're in the studio with Dave from Polk Row Brewery, and we want you to call in, get a chance to get a gift card. Sharon?
Yeah, live and local radio, my friend. It's fun to see you running around the studio like a crazy man.
Who's running?
You!
Do I sound like I'm out of breath?
No,
this is easy. I was on my hammock, and I fell off, and then I had to hurry up and come into the studio.
Oh, you got a rough life.
I know.
So rough, man. A man in your position.
You know what, though? What's nice right now, it's the weather. I mean, everyone thinks it's, you know, it's gloomy. You know, like they say, some people, you know, I'm making something good out of bad weather. And the good thing is, in our kitchen, it's beautiful right now.
Beautiful weather in your kitchen?
Yes. That's because it's terrible outside.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So the cooler, the better?
The cooler, the better when you're in the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah, my parents had a restaurant, you know.
So
it was called
they?
Willow Queen. It was in Willow Springs, Illinois. It was a hot dog joint, hand-dipped ice cream, hot dogs, hamburgers, awesome beef sandwiches. We had everything. It was like the icon of the town. And they did not have air conditioning in that place. And so in the summer,
and no one complained.
We would just bake. No one complained. But now everybody's like totally, you know, they don't tolerate much. And everybody's totally used to comfort and convenience. But back in the 70s, no, that was in the dog days.
Well, Sharon, I want to thank all the listeners out there for tuning in to 89.1 FM. That's WLP. PR, and that's Lakeshore Public Radio.
That's right.
Here in Merrillville, we're live, broadcasting live.
And utilize the phone number and get yourself a gift card. Take part in the show. You can call the number, 219-769-9577.
And, you know, before we get on with the show, next week we're going to have a pledge drive. And I want all the listeners to tune in and pledge.
Yeah.
You know, it helps all the shows out that are here on 89.1 FM, and it just helps run everything and all the equipment, and it's an important part of the station's operations.
It very much is, and it's a nice education, and the shows that we offer here and the service that public radio is to a community and the service that we provide, and it's a nice way to get the word out. Very inexpensive, most cost-effective way we have to get the word out, too, obviously.
And where can you go to get some local information? I mean, everything's all about Chicago, and Indy, and all the other places. But we're one of your local stations, and we talk about local items. I'm a local guy, and I'm bringing in another local guy, and that's Dave from Polk Row Brewing Company out of Griffith, the home of the Panthers. Sure, it's going to be an exciting night out there. And Dave, I want to welcome you to the studio. I know it's a busy day for you. It's a busy day for me.
Yeah.
It's always busy. But you know what? I want to thank you for taking some time out and stopping in, and so you can tell us all about your operation. Oh, welcome, Dave.
Right on. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Sharon, for having me come out. Sorry about last time. It was crazy, hectic last time we were going to have you do a show with us.
Oh, yeah. You know, before we get to that, because that was an interesting time, because we had a guy on a few weeks ago that was out there at the Pierogi Fest, and he said it was like a zoo.
Yeah, it's one of our biggest events of the year. Us being a Polish brewery, that's kind of like our home turf, and we're one of the signature brewers for out there. So we really make sure we're geared up for Pierogi Fest every year.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So what does that take for you? I mean, does that entail like a lot of hours and sweat?
Yeah, we pretty much get what beer we want to do. Every year we showcase one of our Polish-style recipe beers that we do out there just for Pierogi Fest. And we usually start planning for that mid-spring. And then for the season when it's getting ready, we have to make sure we have enough kegs ready because we go through just about – this year we went through 20 half barrels of beer out there just in the 3 days, and that's just us. I mean, there's other brewers.
Well, that's what
there.
I drank. How about everyone else?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. So what are you having?
Yeah. So Dave, you know, let's get to like your background. Let's where are you from? If so you're from the region, what high school you went to, that kind of stuff.
I originally grew up in Lansing. I went to school at Mount Carmel.
Okay.
Graduated from Mount Carmel, went to college, and ended up being in the trades for 23, 24 years as an operating engineer.
Okay.
Moved to Griffith probably back in 96.
Mm-hmm.
Came to the Griffith area. I've been there ever since. When I first moved to Griffith, Griffith was just starting to change hands where they were getting a better town council in. Because Griffith used to have that kind of background of
steel mill town.
Yeah, and it was, you know, not a really up and coming area, and right when I moved in there is when they changed the council and made it more of a, all right, how are we going to bring life back to Griffith?
Yeah.
And in the last probably 10-15 years, the board that's on there now, the council that's in there, has done a great job. And before you know it, we're one of the booming towns in the area, and everybody wants to move there.
I was going to say, yeah, I've been hearing.
You know,
yeah.
We can give them an incentive for going to Griffith. You know, if you call in 769-9577, get a chance to get a gift card from Polk Road Brewery and Chef Nick Zeri. I'll mail it out to you. Remember, 769-9577. So, you know, I agree with you 100% because I grew up in Merrillville, and I never really went to Griffith. And I just remember going there that it didn't seem like it had a lot to offer. And now I went there, and what did I do? I took is it Calumet from US 3? I think I took Calumet all the way in.
Calumet or Klein.
Or Klein.
Yeah,
I took Klein
in, right in.
And as I'm going in, I was pleasantly surprised of all the newer type of businesses.
Right.
You know, like a newer, like delis, you guys, but you could tell us your history. There's a coffee house I saw in the corner.
Yeah, that's Grindhouse. Yeah.
And they'll be on in a few weeks. The Grindhouse will be coming on. There's a record store out there.
Yep.
There's
street. There's an arcade out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you know, Twincade.
What is that?
Twincade?
Yes. Yeah.
But the difference was that it seemed more streamlined. Like the downtown, Broad Street, all that seemed different than it was back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know,
for
it
sure.
just seems like it's, you know, like it is upcoming. It's, you know, and then, you know, then you got your place and you guys actually make your own beer.
Yes.
You are a brewery.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the history of the brewery, which I did read when I went in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The way the history of the brewery started was friends of mine, Joe and Robin, Joe being from Lowell and so was Robin, they moved to Griffith. And Joe's always been a home brewer. He's been home brewing about 19, 20 years.
Sharon, how many times do we hear that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
About
yes.
the home brewery.
That's the common thread.
Yeah. Almost every brewery you run across or any brewer always started out as a home brewer.
And you know what? A lot of them were in the trades of some sort.
Yes.
That's another one. It's like they're in the, you know, they're either a carpenter or like an engineer or something like that. And then they ended up deciding, you know, hey, I don't want to brew beer in the bathtub anymore. I want to.
Right, right. And that's almost the same thing how we started. Joe, my partner, which where the Pacro name comes from. His last name is Pakropinski,
mm-hmm.
and everybody used to call him Pakro for short. And so when the name came up, it's a unique name that we know won't be trademarked by anybody else or, you know, stolen. And plus it's got the history because it is Joe's name. And like I said, I haven't brewed as much as long as Joe has.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's definitely got the experience on me. But we all came together. You know, he lived in Griffith. I live in Griffith. He was always told, you know, hey, I need to open a brewery, get out of home brewing. We all need to get out of home brewing and start a business. And he started it, and then him and I were talking, and he's like, hey, I want to do this. You know, what do you think? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, so we all combined together, him, me, and then his wife, and the three of us started the brewery. And he used to be a machinist, like a metal fabricator by trade as well, with a family business, and I was an operator. So, yeah, we both came from kind of the trades background, and we said, yeah, let's do it. And this is like our third year we've been in business, so I retired from the operators. You know, I had 24 years in, so I retired from them, started doing this with Joe together, him and I brewing together, doing distros, running the place at the same time, and we wanted to have that comfortable European style, because we specialize in like Belgian beers and some of our Polish style beers, and we want to have it that European feel. And you said you stopped in there. A lot of people get that feel when they walk in. They said it's, you know, it's real comfortable, cozy. It's not.
Oh, you mean
modernized?
The vibe of the place.
Right. Yeah, tell us a little bit of the vibe, because there's a lot of different rooms in there.
Yes, yes.
You know, there's a lot of niches.
Yeah,
and then there's a lot of like board games and stuff.
Right.
So
cool.
I had, to be honest with you, and you can elaborate more, but I already had this feeling like it was almost like a coffee shop,
right?
But it was a brewery,
right? Nice. And that's exactly when you walk in, when we got the building, it was a 5,000 square foot building, and it used to be Gatlin Plumbing, who was locally in town, the local plumbing outfit, who was big in Griffith. They were a big part of the community. Well, they owned that building, and then we had sought them out to rent it from them, and it used to be a pottery place. Then it became a dojo for a little while, and then we took it over. And we decided when it came in, we want to have different themes for it. Like when you walk in our place, you walk into the main part, there's the bar to your right, and there's a common room where everybody kind of gets together, or you can sit at the bar. Then, like Nick was saying, in the one corner of the brewery in a separate room, we call that our Viking room, and we also call it the quiet room. Like if you want to go in there and have more of an intimate conversation with somebody and don't want to be involved in all the common noise and everybody at the bar, that kind of gives you a chance to get into that room and kind of have a quieter conversation. Then you go towards the back of our brewery. That's where all our music is, our bands, our jukebox. Also, you can see into the brew house itself, where you can see kind of where all our fermenters are and the brew house and all everything we do back there. You can kind of get a sneak peek at it.
So, and I'm tasting some of this
pictures?
Beer right now.
Yes. You have pictures of your place on your website?
Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah.
What's your website?
www.pacrobrewing.com.
Okay.
Yeah, or you can go to Facebook, Pacro Brewing and Pacro Brewing Company on the Facebook, and see all the pictures there.
And folks, if you want to try the beer that I'm trying, and what am I sampling here?
What's it say at the top? Because I brought three different ones. The top of the lid there will tell you.
Oh, it's a Little Red.
Yeah, that's a Little Red Beard. That's our
Little Red Beard. So yeah. Call in 769-95. Oh, Sharon wants a guzzle of it too. 769-9577. That's 769-9577. Give us a call and get a chance to get a gift card from Poke Row Brewery and Chef Nick's Eatery. And this way it gives you a reason to get out to Griffith and try some of this beer. So what's this one?
That one is one of our hybrid style beers that we did.
What do you mean by hybrid?
It's a kind of a cross. We did a cross between a wit beer and an actual amber. And it's more for people that aren't into the heavy hops but want some flavor.
I agree.
That is good.
This is my kind of beer.
A beer that is
so
still
am I a weasel? Because I don't like all that hops and stuff.
Yeah, that's perfect. No, you're not. I mean, everybody has different styles, you know, and that is more for something you could drink during the summer. It's not heavy. It's got a light malt base on it.
Oh, yeah. It is very
light. It's got the wheat taste of a wit beer. So we kind of cross the two of them together. And it's still 4.6%, so it's not a heavy hitter, so you can drink, you know, a good amount of it during a summer day and be okay. That's one of our this year has been one of our sellers that's been at the top of the list for quite a while.
So Pokro, what's Joe is his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Now is he still involved with the operation?
Yeah.
Why
definitely.
Is he brewing now? Is that
yeah?
What
he's
doing?
Actually getting ready. We're gonna brew probably tomorrow morning. Yeah. So he had to stay back because we're a small operation. So it's me, Joe, and Robin. So we pretty much run everything.
So you've been doing this for only how many years?
We've been in business 3 years now.
Now, but what does he have a longer history than that, or is it the whole business and operation has been a three-year operation?
Yeah, as a brewery itself, it's been 3 years. Home brewing, it's been a collective thing for almost 20 years now.
Okay.
Because like
I kind of read a little bit of a story
about
everything.
And that's pretty much the story on how everything started was the home brewing going in this. When we first started, we had a small three-barrel system when we first opened the doors. And we just wanted to make out a couple good beers that, you know, brings people to the community to come in. we weren't really gearing up for having a big tap room and having, you know, huge crowds. We wanted to be small. Well, when we first opened, we did a soft opening, and the next day we went to do it and ran out of beer. Like, they sucked us dry. So we're like, well, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
So then we started brewing more, and Joe and I were on the three-barrel system. We're pretty much brewing 24 hours a day. Like, we'd start a brew in the morning, and we wouldn't finish up till the next morning because we were brewing double batches. We were just trying to keep up with demand.
So how many vats you got back there? I kind of peeked through the window there.
Now, yeah.
You guys are pretty tight back there, too.
Oh, yeah. About a year and a half ago, we decided to go big, and we moved up to a 10-barrel system.
So that means you got 10 brewing...
We could, brew 10 barrels at a time. Uh-huh. So just kind of give you an example.
How many gallons is a barrel?
A barrel itself. Uh-huh. Now, everybody gets the conception of when they see a keg or something
somewhere.
Yeah,
you think of that wooden barrel that, you know, like somebody swimming. Oh, that's nice. So
there you go.
Join us on our Facebook. Yeah. Or Lakeshore. what's the Facebook?
Go to Facebook and look up Lakeshore Public Radio, and you should find it. And we have a picture of the offerings that Dave brought in and a little preview of some of the things you can get if you go to Pocro Brewery.
That's right.
You pronounce it Pocro or Pocro?
A lot of people ask us this.
Yeah.
Now, us being Polish, the Polish way of saying it would be Pocro.
Pocro.
But the Americanized way that everybody knows is Pocro.
Okay.
So there's not a wrong way to say it.
Oh,
so
good.
It just depends on if you want to use your Polish slang per se. So it's either way.
That's how he was saying it when he came in to record the promo for you.
So Pocro or Pocro, either or.
I try.
Pocro kind of gives it that Chicago,
style. Oh, yeah, that's
to
true.
It, you know?
That's so true.
So the barrel, how many gallons are in that barrel?
Because
like I said, the barrel I think of, like, I'm old, so I think of sometimes that hobo taking a bath in the barrel and some of these Charlie Chaplin movies and stuff like that. That's what I think a barrel is.
And there's a lot of misconception on that. Like, you go to a liquor store and you say you get a barrel of beer, it comes out, they're actually half barrels.
Okay.
And each half barrel has 15 gallons, 15.5.
Okay.
So you're looking at about, for a barrel, it's right around 30, 31 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to be in a 10-barrel batch, we're doing, roughly 300 gallons at a time.
Wow.
So to give a scale that you can understand a little easier, from our 3-barrel batch that we had when we started, we used to be able to do about 800 kegs a year.
Wow.
Now, with the new system, we can go up to 3,000 a year.
Wow.
So that's the difference in volume, how much we did.
So is this something that it's like, is it 24/7, or you guys got it down to where it's
Now that we're on the bigger system, we spent the money to go self-automated on the system, so a lot of stuff is fine-tuning, and it's a lot on a bigger scale, so we don't have to brew as often.
Mm-hmm.
Before, when we were brewing, it was as fast as we can get it into tanks. It goes in the kegs, goes out the door, and we're brewing the next batch.
Well, how long does it take to do a batch? I mean, like,
depending
you start
on what
in the morning?
It is, like, your IPA, like, if you're brewing the batch, we can be done with the batch in about 10 to 12 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's just getting it out of the boiling, putting it into a fermenter.
Okay.
That's just for the day of brewing. Now, when we're doing a batch of beer, say it's an IPA.
Can you tell everyone what an IPA stands for?
India Pale Ale.
Okay.
Which is, we like to change it up sometimes. We'll say Americans. Like, we say an American IPA, instead of saying an IPA just in general.
Uh-huh.
But like your IPAs and your traditional style where it's a hoppy and it's a pale malt, we can flip those over in about a week. Like a week, week and a half, we can have from boil kettle to being in kegs and ready to go out the door. Now, anytime you get into a lager or get into something that's more intricate or more, complex.
Lager is more complex than a pale ale?
Yes, because it's got a lot of time for fermentation and a lot of time for sitting, and there's a lot of steps that go involved in that, more involved. Especially like if you're doing like Russian Imperials or anything that's barrel-aged. You've had barrel-aged beers or anything that can sit for a long period of time and just kind of, not rest, but it kind of ferments and adds flavor as it goes on. The longer it sits, the better it tastes.
Is it like wine where it takes on the oaky
barrel? A little bit.
Barrel?
Sort of, yeah, yes. Okay. And that's exactly right. Like we do a lot of stuff where we get barrels from Journeyman's Distillery up in Michigan, and we get to old whiskey barrels.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put a beer in there, it'll pull that whiskiness
But there's no added alcohol. It's just a flavor.
No. It's just it pulls that alcohol that's left in the barrel. It'll suck it out of the barrel itself, out of the wood, and it'll give it that little bit of a
How does it do that? I'm sorry. You probably might
have It's just the way the barrel sits, and it just soaks it in and draws it right out.
Wow.
So you do a Pilsner?
Yes. We do.
Did you bring one?
No, I don't.
Actually, I know this is a little bit thick, but a I don't drink much beer, but I would more likely drink a Pilsner. Because it's lighter.
That goes down very easy.
And this
though,
one goes
one.
Down pretty easy. But it has more body to it.
Right, right. We did a, it's called our Cream Ale, Griffith Cream Ale, which is very similar to a Pilsner, just a little bit more flavor to it, but same style of how a Pilsner is made. They are actually starting to become very popular again in the area. People are really gravitating towards craft beer Pilsners. We just do them. Anybody in the area that does a Pilsner, it's got a lot more flavor to it than your standard Pilsner, like a Miller Lite or, you know, beer like that.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your highest alcohol concentrate?
Right now, the one we have on tap is called Wookiee Love. It is our Russian Imperial Stout, and that one runs in around about 10%.
Wow.
And yeah, and we actually did a variant of it last year that has raspberry in it. And when we took some raspberries, put that in with the beer when it was aging, and we aged it for about a year. And when it came
Wait, you aged the beer for the year?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we put it in a
So that is sort of like a wine.
We'll cellar it. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we'll cellar it, and like that beer was a 10% beer when it went in, but when we put the raspberry into it and let it ferment and sit for another year, it brought up to almost 14% on the ABV because of all the sugars in it and brings up the alcohol content.
So do you do like a special beer every, like for a year where people are waiting for it or anything like that?
Wookiee Love, the one I was talking about, yeah. They wait for that. And we kind of try to come out with that right around fall in the wintertime. Just because it's a darker beer, so people that like to drink the darker beer when it's colder.
Is that what's special about it?
Yeah, it's special because
does it taste like raspberry?
It tastes like a chocolatey raspberry type of thing. Like a lot of your darker imperial stouts and your Russian imperial stouts are more of a coffee style, chocolatey flavor to them.
They're kind of creamier in consistency.
Yes, a lot thicker, a lot creamier. Yes.
How do they get like that? How do they get that consistency?
It's the malts that we use. We don't take quite as many sugars out of the beer to make it so it stays in there. That gives it that body and then kind of gives it the stickiness, they call it. Some people will drink them and be like, this is sticky, but you know they taste it. Love the flavor of it.
Huh.
Nice. So, are they more calories?
Oh yeah,
they sound like they would be.
There's nothing good about the beer. We joke with a lot of customers. You know, we'll say our beer's gluten-free, you know, and they're like, what? And we're like, no.
It isn't.
No,
I know, because it's got barley in it.
Right, exactly.
Do you have any gluten-free beer?
No, we do not.
Yeah.
No.
That's what a lot of the brewers don't.
Right, right. And, you know, we've pretty much through the years now have stayed true to what we do and what our style is. We're not going to try to change because people are stopped, you know, with the gluten and everything else. It's like, this is beer, this is what we're doing, you know.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, 2 minutes. We got news from NPR coming up in 2 minutes, just FYI. But give us a call on the phone here, 219-769-9577. Ask a question about beer. Get yourself a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery or Poke Row Brewery out in Griffith.
So do you guys do things with chocolate or anything like that?
Yeah, not really too much. Like I said, we do the stuff. That Wookiee Love that I was talking about has, we use cocoa nibs. That's the closest one. Cocoa nibs is what we'll use in that beer just to give it a little bit more sweetness to it, have that chocolatey taste to it. But we don't do too many themed beers that have, you know, some kind of chocolate or candy in it or anything like that.
Do you think that because of how beer is, it kind of overrides any of those kind of flavors?
Yeah, sometimes it does. It gets too sweet at that point, and it becomes more of a dessert beer, and it kind of...
Are there beers called dessert beers? I mean,
there's a lot of them that are out there that are like that. And I mean, our Russian Imperial could be considered a dessert beer because of it being so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of your sweeter style beers like that are kind of that run that way.
Now, your hops, where do you get your hops from?
We get our hops from two different places. We do it from Michigan Hop Alliance up in Michigan, and we also, I've been doing a thing on our Facebook page. We have a local fops farmer that we use. He's down in DeMont, and he's Conekeeper's Hop Yard. And he's a local guy that he's an electrician by trade, but he's got a lot of property, and he started growing hops a couple years back. And when we met him, he wanted to start making some hops for us. So I've actually been going on Facebook Live on our page, doing like showing everybody how hops are made and how they're done.
Oh, everyone's got
to hear more about that. Hold that thought, too. I definitely want to hear more about that. Right now, though, it's 3:30. You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
That, you know what I want to say is, like Sharon said, woo-woo!
Woo-woo, the stuff that we talk about off-air is more interesting than the stuff.
And when we were at the news break, we got to sample everything that Dave brought in.
Yeah, exactly.
And the sample is, like, feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, I can feel warm.
And you know what? And I tasted some really good beers. Out of the five you drank brought in, there's two of them I know I would order. And I'm not really much of a beer drinker, but there's some good brews there.
Yeah. I definitely like the, what was the red one?
Little Red Beer.
Little Red Beer.
And then you said the other one was that you liked was Dirty Blonde.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with Dirty
Blonde. You know what?
Those
folks,
are very good. Yes.
You need to call in 769-9577, 769-9577. You know what? And get a gift card from Dave from Polk Row Brewery. And I got a gift card from Chef Nick's Eatery, and you can make a day of it. Go and have a meal at Chef Nick's and then go to Griffith on a nice day and sit around and play some board games and have some beers. And you know who's taking advantage of that right now is Annie. Hi, Annie.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Oh, you know what? We're actually having a pretty good time right now.
Well, yeah, I know. You guys sound like you're having a really good time. So I've been to Polk Row Brewing and I love it. But as an area school teacher, I teach entrepreneurship. And so my questions for our brewer and business owner are, do you have a mentor in your brewing business, either on running business operations or on the brewing process itself?
As far as a mentor we go to when we're brewing? I'm not sure if I understand.
I mean,
throughout the process, like since they opened, they kind of went to someone for some advice?
Yeah, so I teach the kids that they should have a mentor if they're going to be a business owner. And so whether that's in the aspects of running the business or, you know, like the financials or something, maybe that's not your strong skill set. Maybe yours is just the brewing or vice versa. Do you have a mentor that you lean on?
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah, we actually do have a few good mentors, and I'll give you an example of it. Like Joe himself, when he started brewing, the guy I've never met, all the breweries that I've gone to and brewers that I'm friends with, I've never met a person who knows beer better than him. As far as him mentoring off any of us and us going to other people, we haven't gone to that aspect. We pretty much rely on our skills and what we've learned, basically what we've read and what we did. Mr. Beer Kits, we all had them when we were kids. That's where you experiment from and read a lot, researched a lot. We did mentor a little bit off of the Three Floyds era. Nick and some of the guys that own Three Floyds are good friends with Joe as well. So some of that mentoring comes from. But now on the aspect side of the business, my mom owned banks over the years. So a lot of the business stuff.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It came. I went to my mom constantly and saying, all right, you know, I've never done this before. Because that's a good question. On the other side of it, the book side, sure, we could brew beer. But as far as running a business, we didn't know really a lot what we were doing. So I've constantly had to go to her for help over the years.
And what school do you teach?
I'm at Maryville High School.
Okay, that's where I graduated from. 1980 class.
Oh, nice.
Go Pirates.
So, real good.
So you've been to Polk Row?
I have. I love it. Yeah, we actually have some mutual friends with the Polk Row. Poker Pinsky, I guess, is their name.
Yes.
I think that name.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have some mutual friends. I've never met them personally, but yeah, so they've taken me over there and shown me the place and actually celebrated some birthday parties there that were a really good time.
Was there a certain brew that you liked?
Not any one in particular. He has a raspberry, and I can't remember the name of it.
That's what we were talking about.
Name.
Raspberry Kamet.
Yes, the Raspberry Kamet. So. Yeah. My friend that took me there recommended that, and I tried it, and I had, you know, basically stuck with it. When I find something I like, I just keep with it.
You know what? To go back to your question, my answer to that question is I've had many mentors. there was a mentor that taught me how to market. There was a mentor that taught me how to run a restaurant. There was a mentor that taught me about food, and there was mentors that taught me about how do you handle your employees and your people. So my best advice to the students, yes, it'd be nice to have one mentor,
sure,
but in business, there's so many different aspects that sometimes you need more than just one mentor. And you know what?
Those who have specialties in different areas.
You know what? And these guys don't know it, and some of them have passed away because I'm becoming an old dude. But I like to take this time out to say thank you to those mentors because they help develop the way I am right now.
Yeah, and it's huge. It's really huge. Like, we've had a good combination just because Robin, Joe's wife, she came from an HR background. She did that. So that helped us out as far as when we went to hire employees, how we would screen employees. That kind of gave us a ton of help. I've always had a lot of marketing stuff from behind in my past before I even got into the business I'm in now, so that helped me on that. Joe's definitely been on the more solid side for the beer, so we've kind of had a little bit of a click of everything just to help us get started. But I agree 100%. You know, I'm one of those people that always has an open ear and always to take advice.
You know what my advice, my feeling is, no matter where you work at, you got to learn one thing from every place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you can just grab that one thing and it carries on with you probably the rest of your life, and that's how it is.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ann, you know what we're going to do is, I don't know if you've ever been out to Chef Nick's, but we're going to send you a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery. It's over in Winfield by the Lake of the Four Seasons. And Dave is going to give me a gift card because I'm going to take it out of his pocket.
Right.
And we're going to send you a gift card so you can go back to Polk Row. How's that sound?
Excellent. That'll be a good motorcycle ride one day. Thanks, guys.
I think that's a perfect afternoon.
I mean, yeah, that's a good afternoon, really. I kind of like that afternoon.
Well, you have a great day, Ann. Thanks for calling in, okay?
Folks, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yep, you're listening to Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. We're on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, and we want you to call in 769-9577, 769-9577. To get a gift card to try some beer from Polk Row and some food from Chef Nick's Eatery. How's that sound, Sharon?
Definitely sounds great. And, you know, leave it to a teacher, an educator, to call here and ask a really good question of substance. That was an excellent question.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you had, like, all kinds of stars aligned for you. You had people around you with the right kind of knowledge base and education and experience in different areas to help you run your business. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we're still learning every day. I mean, we've made a lot of mistakes in the beginning, and especially we didn't expect to grow. We've always said our business model was we wanted to grow slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, like our first year that we were in business, we were already cash flow positive, which
that's
you
great.
Know,
that's
awesome.
Great.
It takes years usually for
that.
Business.
So we weren't ready for that, you know, and we're like, oh, now what do you know, this came quick. Now what do we do? Do we excel to the next level and try to see, or do we still try to go into it slowly? And so that was a learning curve in itself right there. We weren't prepared for that quick of a response from the community and how everybody liked our beer, which was a good thing.
Oh, yeah,
but
definitely.
It was like, all right, so how do we progress from that to make it so that we try to keep the course of slow and steady? You know, we didn't want to just blow up overnight and, you know.
Yeah, and then it falls apart.
You
know, your customers are always coming the first time and maybe the second time.
Right.
But if you don't please them, they're not going to come in the third time.
Right.
It's usually what happens. And if you don't please them, it takes maybe, you know, they might go somewhere else 50 times before they come back to you to see if you've changed.
Right.
So, like you say, you don't want to go, you want to grow, but you want to be smart about it too.
And so we've had some learning curves with that, and we've had to manage both sides, like, you know, with having the brewery is one animal in itself, and then we also do our food on the other side, which we do strictly Polish food. So, which Polish food in our area in Griffith isn't really too popular. So a lot of the Polish community that's still around that lives in there, like, strives to our place because they get the Polish food.
I was going to ask, is there a big Polish population out here?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so until, because first Thursday of every month, we run our Polish night.
Which, and what is that? What kind of food do you have for
now
that?
We have, for our standard menu during the week, we do pierogies, we do fresh sausage, we do potato pancakes, you know, we do stuff that's Polish fair food. Now, on Polish night itself, we pull all the stops and we pull all our, basically all our family recipes from years out on there for the menu for the night. Like, we do a bouchers plate, and the Boucher's plate is like
Yeah, tell a Greek guy what a Boucher's plate
is. Yeah, Boucher's plate. Well, Boucher is grandmother in Polish.
Okay.
And that was, coming up being Polish and Joe being Polish, our grandmothers were always the ones that made all the cooking and did it and had those recipes, the good Polish recipes. And we basically honor the Polish recipes of the grandmothers, for our grandmothers, his grandmother. We also do Chris's Pakros plate, which was the plate is named after Joe's mom who passed away, who used to do this style plate. But it's fresh Polish sausage. Some people don't know gwumki as you say it, but they know it as stuffed cabbage.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, is that what
but,
it is?
Yeah,
okay.
The Polish term of it is actually called gwumki, and it's a stuffed cabbage that we do.
Gwumki?
Gwumki, yes.
Okay.
But if you see it as it's spelled, it looks like galopki.
Okay.
And it's one of those things that's it's very misrepresentation of how it's pronounced. But we do that. We do stuffed peppers. We do potato pancakes. We do our pierogies. We do fresh Polish sausage. You could either do smoked or fresh Polish. And then we also do a bigos, which is like the hunter stew.
Okay.
Polish hunter stew. The only thing that we get asked for every once in a while that we won't do is charnina.
What's that?
Which is duck blood soup.
Oh.
That's an old Polish tradition, but it's
like blood sausage and all that kind
yes,
of
stuff. Yes.
Is it really actually, I mean, excuse my
name. Yeah. No, yeah. It's oh, actually, it yeah. My great-grandmother used to make it, and I couldn't do it.
Wow. Folks, what about kolachkis?
Kolachkis, we don't do kolachkis, but we do punchkis. We do punchki day.
Nice. The Tuesday before.
We don't make them anymore.
You guys used to make them?
Well, my family did, and I think Joe's did too. But
it's a lot of work.
I didn't get a consistent enough recipe from my family to want to use. So we actually use Calumet Bakery.
Uh-huh.
We get all our punchkis from them. And we use that, celebrate that holiday every year.
And what is that holiday again? It's
right before Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, the Tuesday before. It's Fat Tuesday. It's the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the day that you're just glutting yourself because you're supposed to fast the rest of the time.
Right, okay.
So let's get back to, folks, we only got about 15 minutes left of the show. It's gone by fast.
Yeah.
Call in 769-9577, 769-9577. Get a chance to get a gift card. You just heard Dave say they're not just beer. They have food, too.
Yes.
And they have some good authentic food that, like a lot of places you go get stuffed cabbages, I guarantee it's probably something frozen they got out of the bag and they threw some ragu on it or something like that. At his place, it's from scratch, 769-9577. And, Dave, we tried some beers. And why don't you tell everyone out there what you brought in? Because which ones did I liked a few of them. I liked a couple of them.
The Little Red Beard is the one that I was telling you guys is a crossover type of hybrid beer. It's between an amber and a wit beer, which a wit beer is more of like a wheatier style unfiltered beer, like an ale. And it's for easy drinking for people who aren't into craft beers per se.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah, that don't frequent a lot of craft beer, but can still try it and be like, oh, this is something different that I could drink, and that's what we geared it for our customers that are kind of wanting to get into the whole craft beer scene but not sure how to jump into it. And then the other one I brought was the Dirty Blonde, which is our Belgian blonde ale that we use. Some people, you get a banana flavor off of it or you get a bubblegum taste to it, and that's because of the Belgian yeast that we use. That's a mid-level beer, more or less getting you more into the flavors of the craft beer, but not making it, as we say, hoppy, where it's bitterness and it's too hard to drink. And then the last one is our American IPA, which is our Race Cars and Unicorns. And
that's
the hoppy one. That is the one that's got the bite to it. But for the craft beer people who are really into it, that's one of our biggest sellers.
So the barley that you get, I mean, is it like barley that I would cook with, or is it something different?
Similar, yeah. We get a lot of, all our malts and stuff come from Country Malt over in South Holland, and they actually supply the whole Midwest.
That's the origin of, and they grow it there?
No, they bring it in? They bring it in, and we have a chance to either have it milled by them, or we mill it ourselves down to what we need.
So do you do the thing I've heard that, like with hops and things like that, it's pellets?
Yes. Well, yeah, pellets, you can do either or. You can do the fresh, it's called a wet hop, where you can actually bring it right off the bine and bring it in and put it right into the boil. Like a hop will come as a cone.
Right.
And what happens after that, they'll dry out these cones and then they'll turn them into a machine that'll actually turn it into a pellet. and it'll give you what you need. A lot of times we do most of our brews with pellets.
Now, the guy that you buy the fresh hops from, does he do that for you? Makes
sense.
Now, when you he's only got a short season, or does he have greenhouses?
No, he's got a short season. He, you know, he'll plant it in the beginning
of spring. Do you buy it all up?
He does like three different breweries that he deals with. He'll do stuff with us, and he does stuff with Fenwick Farms down south. And I think there's one other brewery that he works with. But, yeah, he's harvesting right now, and he harvests for about 2 weeks, and then that's it. He's done for the year. And he every year for hops, it takes a good year or two for them to grow and figure out, you know, if they like it there and to get a good production crop out of it.
Yeah, because I went to a hop farm that was local around here, and we've had him on the show too.
Probably
Howe Farm.
Yeah, Howe Farm.
And I didn't realize. I thought hops were like bushes or something, but it's actually a vine.
A vine, yeah.
And it grows about 20 foot high.
Yep.
And he does the same thing. He harvests it and puts in pellets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, these containers, okay, and first of all, the names. Who decides the names?
We all do.
How many beers you got in your tap room?
We have 12 on tap right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all. Do you bring in anybody else's? I mean, like,
we don't.
Everything's yours.
Yeah, everything's all stuff that we make in house.
And who decides on the names?
Me, Joe, basically, both of us are the ones that do it. And some of it has to do with some. I'm not gonna lie, late night drinking, and you know, we just get stupid and hey, let's make it.
Yeah. You see Gilligan on TV. Oh, Gilligan Ale.
And a lot of it, yeah, a lot of Joe and I are both very, very much into music, and we're kind of into the harder rock, so a lot of stuff came from
that. Your promo was perfect, wasn't it? Panama.
Oh, yeah,
you like that?
Yeah.
So I'm curious about what your favorite bands are, a couple of them.
I'm all over the place. Some days I like to listen to some real like hard rock, some, you know, Motorhead style music.
Oh, okay.
And then some days I'll listen to some blues. Some days I'll listen to more contemporary rock. I'm kind of all over the place with the music.
Nice.
And so is Joe. We have fun with the names. We don't take things seriously. We did a smoke porter this year that we named Grateful Brew.
Yeah.
And we actually made the shirts up. And it had, I mean, we can get sued for this, but it had the Grateful Dead logo, just the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it had Grateful Brew on it. And it was like, we sold out of shirts in like 20 minutes.
So cool. We got Rachel. Rachel, what's your favorite music?
Music?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I listen to absolutely everything I can get my ears on.
So do you got a good name for a brew for the next time he comes up with something different?
Oh, I don't know. What kind of beer is it?
You come up with the name and then he'll make the beer.
Oh, how about Mayday?
Mayday.
There you go.
That's kind of a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
So Rachel from Valparaiso, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm wonderful.
Thanks
I'm a school teacher. I'm driving home from work and just ready to relax.
Now, have you – thanks for joining us on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio.
Thank you.
You have a question for Dave?
Well, I just wondered – I have not been to the brewery, but my husband has.
A lot?
I don't think so. We're on Valpo, so that's kind of a bit of a hike for us to get out there. But we do have family out in Griffith, so – be nice to come enjoy a beer after.
Oh, you
know,
will. We'll send you out something. Dave's got some coupons.
Yeah,
some gift cards.
I'm excited. So I just wondered, what's the kind of the vibe in the brewery? Is it real loud and like heavy metal playing?
No, not at all. The vibe in our brewery is more of a local feel, more of a comfortable come in, have a beer, relax. We do have some music on, but it's very low-key. We don't have loud, blaring music. When we have bands come in, they're more acoustic acts because we don't have a lot of room for bands.
Yeah, you don't have like a big open space,
right,
really.
Right, right. And we're geared more for – we don't have a lot of TVs in there. We have one TV. We just want people to be able to come in, unwind after a busy week, and just kind of have a beer. And our lighting's kind of set that way. It's kind of an offset comfort lighting.
So woody look in there?
Right. It's more of everybody that's come
Earth
in
tones.
Says they, you know, they feel comfortable in there. They feel real warm and cozy in there.
Oh, nice. So you can just chill out.
Yeah. So, and like I said, our customers are very – we don't get a lot of young customers in there. We get more of your middle-aged – you know, 30s and 40s that come in, and they're not rowdy. They want to have some beer, relax, have some fun with everybody, and then go home.
Cool. I like that a lot. Like, sometimes you just want to chill. You don't want to be all amped up.
No,
it's not like that. Actually, if you go in with, you know, like, say you go in with your husband, they have board games. And they have, like, little niches everywhere.
Oh,
you know?
Cute.
So you can actually sit and just have a discussion between the two of you, really.
Yeah, we actually have we set up bag boards in the back.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, if you want to play bags inside, and just one set of boards.
So almost like I said, Rachel, it's almost like a coffee shop feel.
Right.
You know, but they're serving beer.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like, you know, not getting this crazy music. It's not all, like, you know, like a bunch of people all, you know, it's pretty much, it seems like a very laid back place.
We actually had a customer just recently last week come in and says she's gone to a lot of European breweries overseas, and she says your place mimics that a lot, and she said it's really nice. She goes, the biggest difference is she's like, your place is clean. She's like, the place I was at out there, we're very dirty. And she goes, but it does have that more warm, cozy feeling and not...
You know, and
you guys go out to Europe to see other breweries before you designed your place?
No, that actually is on our, you know, now that we're growing a little bit more, we want to do some research. I want to go to Poland, you know, just something on my list. So I'm like, what better time to do it is go find a Polish brewery and do a collaboration with them.
You bet.
You know, so that's on our list.
So Rachel, what we're going to do is we're going to send you out a gift card to Pokro Brewery, and I don't know if you've ever been to Chef Nick's. It's over in Winfield, over by the Four Seasons over there on Randolph.
Not yet, but I can't wait to try it.
Yeah, you know, if anyone's gluten-free, we have a full gluten-free menu. We do breakfast, good lunches, pizzas. So, you know, but also Dave, you know, he was explaining his food menu to us too, so... You know, you might mind take one day and go there and eat and have a couple glasses of beer, or, you know, and or you might want to come to my place and fill up your belly and then go there and get the beer all soaked up in that belly.
Is Pokro family friendly, or is
no,
it 21
actually,
only?
Actually, no, it is not. It is 21 and older.
But they are friendly.
Yeah, we're friendly. And we're friendly to families, but the kids would have to. And we've actually had a lot of families that come in, and they will send their kids to Twincade down the street to the arcade, and then they come down and have a beer.
Well, my 7-month-old, I don't think he's ready for
it. Yeah, it's a little early.
So, Rachel, thank you for calling into Let's Eat, and call again, okay?
I will. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, I think Sharon's got one more person on the line. We got about 4 minutes left here. Is there anything you want to add? Like anything coming up, any new events, any expansions, beer gardens, anything like that?
We don't have a lot of expansion going up right now because we've worked, like you said, that you've seen our tanks and we're pretty maxed out where we're at. Event-wise, we're starting to wind down. We used to call it Pocktoberfest. We do our basically a beer tasting, like a beer event right on the street of Griffith on Broad Street. This year we wanted to take a year off, and then we're going to come back to it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to wind down. Who we got, right. Sharon?
We got Ann Schaefer from Sherrillville.
Ann, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Real quick, let's squeeze in a question for Dave.
Okay, I was wondering, do you have any sort of Polish beer? Is that something that you have? You were talking about you had Polish food and different. I caught it at the end of the conversation.
Yes, we did. Right now, we don't have it on tap, but we have it in our bottles and our 22-ounce bombers. We call it's called Gradiska, and it's an actual true Polish traditional style beer that we brewed that came back from the old country style, where it has a smoked wheat malt. That's the current one that we have that showcases that.
Okay, great. I will definitely be there to try the Polish food and the Polish beer. I haven't had either.
Absolutely.
In
Come
a long
on in.
Time,
do you like craft beers, Ann?
Well, you know, I don't know a lot about them. I have tried them, and I do like some. Some are kind of strong for me, but
I guarantee Dave. Which one did I like?
The Little Red Beard.
You go in there with your gift card that Dave and I are going to send you, and you tried the Little Red Beard. How's that sound?
Little Red Beard. I will definitely be there. Thank you.
So what we're going to do, we're going to send you out a gift card to Pokro Brewery Company and Chef Nick's Eatery, and you'll be seeing them soon in the mail. And thanks for calling Let's Eat on 89.1 FM, Ann.
Thank you. Can't wait to see you.
So we're down to our last minute or two here, Dave, and I know I asked you if you had any future plans. Do you retail out?
Yeah, right now we do everything in kegs. Everything is all distroed through draft. We're going to start bottling up and canning over the winter time, coming into spring. So when we come out in spring, because we have an Illinois distributor as well, so we've been branching out in Illinois. We're actually getting very well received out in Illinois, and we want to continue to go out that way. So.
Especially Chicago. There's a huge Polish population out
there. Oh, it's like second in the world, isn't it? North side.
And we've actually been to a couple of Polish events where they've had our beer and really loved it. So we're going to start branching out to them as well.
You know, I can tell because we've had some breweries on. This is, Sharon, if you agree with me, it is a different flavor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, a lot of them, you know, they were harsh and hoppy and things like that. But you do have the spectrum pretty well covered.
We try to cover a little bit for everybody, you know, so kind of gives them a variety.
Yeah, do a fine job of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you think about maybe opening up a dining room or anything like that?
Eventually, we want to expand our front of our brewery to make it more dining and pretty much the restaurant style up front and then the brewing in the back. But that's years to come. We're really focused on the beer at the moment.
Well, Dave, thanks for joining us. It was a quick hour. I didn't even get through any of my notes. I only got through about 6 or 7 items on my notes. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for joining us
here on Let's Eat. I know it was a busy day. I wanted to wish everyone out there in Northwest Indiana a great weekend. Stay safe. Join us next week for Pledge Week here on 89.1 FM WLPR. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell everyone, have a great weekend and ciao.